if you want to just turn up your book, and we're going to look at page number 3 to start with. Page number 3 at the top of the page. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. See you this afternoon, and it's a great miserable day outside, but it's nice and cosy in here, so that's good, isn't it? Now we're going over to page 46 for our next one. Page 46, will your anchor hold in the storms of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tide lifts and the cables strain, will your anchor shift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul. Number 46.
Storms of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tide lifts and the cables strain, will your anchor shift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps us so steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fast into the rock which cannot fail.
think we'll just commend ourselves to the Lord in prayer just as we start a little service here in the Cameron Hospital. Our Father, we come to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank thee again for bringing us together this afternoon here in the hospital. And we understand that there are those here with us this afternoon and they're in deep need of thy help and thy blessing as they're together here with us. Thou knowest the particular individuals, and thou knowest each and every one of us, and thou knowest our particular needs. And we bring them to thee for thy help and for thy blessing. We pray, Father, that as folks are here in the hospital, that they may be encouraged in heart, and that they may be brought back to a better health, and indeed that they might be given great care whilst they're here. Remember those who look after them. And we pray for a blessing to be on those who take the responsibility for caring for other folks who are ill. And we pray that thou would just give them help to care for them as thou would have them cared for. And we pray a blessing upon them too. So as we're together this afternoon, our Father, we thank thee that we're able to sing thy praise, we're able to sing to thee, and we're also able to listen to thy word and to what it has to say to us. And we pray, our Father, that we might be uplifted and encouraged in heart as we are gathered together. So bless us now, we pray thee, for we ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen. Now we're going over to page number 21, and maybe there's somebody who's got a favourite they would like to sing, and we'll do our best to sing your favourite if you've got if we can sing it, that is, if we know the tune. What number is it?
Blessed Assurance.
Right, we'll sing that one after that. We're going to sing the one at the top of page 21. It's just a chorus from the Sunday school. Jesus loves me, this I know. And we'll sing Blessed Assurance after that.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Assurance is on page number 5, right at the top of the page. Has anybody else got a favourite after this? We can sing another favourite as well. So be free to ask.
This is my story. conflicts of mission. All is at rest. I in my Saviour am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story.
Favourites, and if not, we'll can, I've got one here we can sing, but if you've got one you would like to sing, then feel free to ask for it. I'll give you time to think, and we'll sing number 42 for the moment. Number 42. Was that a favourite you had for me there? No?
Sorry,
I thought you were shouting out a favourite. That's alright.
Anyway, no,
that's alright, dear. Don't you worry a thing about it. And when the storms of life are raging, tempests wild on sea and land, I will seek a place of refuge in the hollow of God's hand. Number 42.
Guide me.
This board behind us helpfully tells us the date. So today is the 19th of January. So what date will next Saturday be? If today's the 19th of January, what date will next Saturday be? The 25th. And what's the significance of the 25th of January? It's the celebration of the birth of Robert Burns. Okay? So, just by way of introduction, let me see if you know some of Robert Burns' poetry. My love is like a red raised rose that's newly sprung in June. This is one that our two elder children would say. Up in the mornings, no for me, up in the morning early. Who's he speaking about here? Fair for you, your honest, sonsy face, great chieftain of the fun race, is addressing the haggis. Man's inhumanity to man makes countless thousands more. Man's inhumanity to man makes countless thousands. Scots Wahava Wallace, Glen, will be up Gordon Street. Scots from Bruce has often led. Welcome to your gory bed or to victory. The best laid schemes of mice and men. And Burns wrote a grace to say when we're giving thanks for food. Some would eat that can't eat, some would eat that want it, but we hate meat, we eat, so let the Lord be. Thank you. It's interesting to know what people think about things, and it's interesting to know what Robert Burns thinks about things. What he thought about life, okay? Now, some people, in you come, if you want. Nice to see you. We're just speaking about the fact that this coming Saturday is Robert Burns Day, and we've thought about some of the famous lines that he wrote, and we're now beginning to explore what he thought about the big things in life. You know, some people think that life is all about having a good time. Life is all about living for pleasure. But Robert Burns had a proper appreciation of what pleasure was, for he said, pleasures are like poppies spread. You seize the flower and the bloom is dead, or like the snow upon the river, a moment white then gone forever. And that's exactly what the Bible says, because the Bible speaks about pleasure, the pleasures of sin that only last for a season. And then, do you know who he's speaking to here? We sleek it, cowrin, tibrous, beastie, all that panic and thy beastie. Thou neednae stand a mossy hasty with bickering brattle, I would be lathe to run and chase thee with murdering prattle. He's addressing a mouse. I'm truly sorry man's dominion has broken nature's social union that justifies that ill opinion that makes thee startle at me, thy poor earth-born companion and fellow mortal. And this is how he ends that poem about a moose. Still thou art but blessed compared with me. Listen to this. The present only toucheth thee, but och, I backward cast my ee on prospects drear, and forward, though I canna see, I guess and fear. Now, what does that mean? Something you at school. What's he saying? What's the perspective of the mice, and what's Burns' perspective? The present only toucheth thee. What does that mean?
Worries about what's happening.
Aha, okay, we've got a dog at home. Edward, our dog at home, isn't worrying about what he did that was bad yesterday. He isn't worrying about where his food's going to come from tomorrow. Our dog just lives for the present. The mice only live for the present. But what was Burns saying? He said this, I backward cast my ee on prospects drear, and forward, though I canna see, I guess and fear. How are we different from the brute beast? How are we different from the animal? What's he saying? He looked back at the past with regrets, and he looked forward to the future with fear. I wonder if we've ever thought about that. I remember many, many years ago hearing a man preach in Northern Ireland, and he spoke about a time in his life when he was troubled about his soul. He was worried about his sin, all the bad things that he'd done in the past, and he was worried about the future and a coming meeting that he would have with God. And you know, he was a farmer, and he said he went into the byre one day and looked at the cows and said, I wish I was a cow. Just living for the present. No need to worry about the past, no need to fear the future. Well, where do we get a remedy, an answer, a solution to worries about the past and fears for the future, we come to the Bible. And I want to read some very significant verses. It's Psalm 80, it's a psalm written by Moses, so that makes it very, very old. And Moses said, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, thou sayest, return ye children of men. 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it's past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning, they're like grass that groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth, and groweth up, and evening is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thy anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins have light of thy kindness. All our days are passed away in thy wrath, we spend our years as a tale that is told. And then this is a famous verse. The days of our years are 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they're 80 years, and yet is their strength labour and sorrow, for it's soon cut off, and we fly away. And based on the words of that psalm that I've just read, there is a famous hymn. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, from everlasting now at God to endless years the same. 1,000 ages in thy sight are like an evening gone, short as the watch that ends the night before the rising sun. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away. They fly forgotten as a dream, dies at the opening day. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, be thou our guard while troubles last, and our eternal home. Now that's quite a famous hymn, but Burns himself wrote a poem that's based on Psalm 90. So this is Burns' version of Psalm 90. Very good. O thou the first, the greatest friend of all the human race, whose strong right hand has ever been their stay and dwelling place. Before the mountains heave their heads, beneath thy forming hand, before this ponderous globe itself arose at thy command, that power which raised and still upholds this universal frame from countless unbeginning time was ever still the same. Those mighty period of years which seem to us so vast appear no more before thy sight than yesterday that's past. Thou givest the word, thy creature man is to existence brought. Again thou saidst, ye sons of men, return ye into dock. Thou layest them with all their cares in everlasting sleep, as with a flood thou takest them off with overwhelming sweep. They flourish like the morning flower, its beauty pride arrayed, but long ere night cut down it lies, all withered and decayed. So that was Burns' version of Psalm 90. And then just a final bit from his writings. I think it says in the Cotter Saturday Night, and he pictures the head of the family gathering his wife, gathering his family around him, and reading from the Bible. And this is one of the verses. They read from the Bible, and then after they've read, they pray. So listen to this verse. Then kneeling down to heaven's eternal King, the saint, the father, and the husband prays. Hope springs exulting on triumphant wing, that thus they all shall meet in future days. There, ever bask in uncreated rays, no more to sigh or shed the bitter tear, together hymning their Creator's praise, in such society, yet still more dear, while circling time moves round in an eternal sphere. What's he speaking about? What's Burns imagining them saying and praying? Do you understand what he's saying? He's speaking about them praying. The Father is praying that in an age to come, they will all meet in a wonderful place, future days, a place where there's no more sighing, a place where there is no more crying. So where is the Father hoping that one day they will all be?
Heaven.
Heaven. Okay? No more to sigh or shed the bitter tear. Now you might say, on what basis could anyone hope that in a future day we could be in heaven? Because he said to the moose that he's concerned about the past. He said to the moose he's worried about the future. So the great problem is this: how can we go from a sinful state, not being right with God and being afraid to meet God, into a state where we can spend
eternity, forever and ever and ever, in God's presence, in that land of no more sighing, no more crying, singing his praise? Well, the answer is in the previous verse. Listen to this. This is him describing the father reading the Bible to his family. He says, perhaps the Christian volume is the theme. Now listen to this line. If you forget everything else today, listen, remember this line. How guiltless blood for guilty man was shed. How he who bore in heaven the second name had not an earth whereon to lay his head. So the Christian volume, the story of the Bible, the message of salvation, the gospel is this. Guiltless blood for guilty man was shed. Who's he speaking about? He's speaking about Jesus. And that brings us to the cross, to Calvary. And we can ask various questions. Where did Jesus die? He died on the cross outside Jerusalem's city gate. How did he die? Well, he was crucified. When did he die? Almost 2,000 years ago. But the crucial question is this, and it's the question that I trust all of us know the correct answer to, and it's this. Why did Jesus die? Why did Jesus die? You know, a couple of months ago, David and I spoke to a lady in Balgonie Ward, and David brought up the story of the Bible, the message of salvation, the gospel, and David explained to that lady why it was that Jesus died. And after we had spoken, the lady said, I never knew that before. Now, you know, that's a tragedy, that someone could live, I suppose, 70 years, maybe more than 70 years, and never understand why Jesus died. We know where he died, we know how he died, we know when he died, but do we know why he died? Why did Jesus die? Well, Robert Burns knew. Guiltless blood for guilty man was shed. And you know, that's the message of the Bible. The Bible says God commended, God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you come to our hall at the Gospel Hall, as you go to Kenway, there's a notice board, and on the notice board, a text, and what does it say? Christ died for our sins. The Bible says Jesus, who knew no sin, was made sin for us. The Bible says Jesus died, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And Burns understood that, understood the message of the Bible, understood why Jesus died, and he wrote, guiltless blood for guilty man was shed. Now, is that not wonderful? Is that not wonderful? You know, we're the sinners. God, perfectly holy, and we get that in the Psalm. We are frail, and God is mighty. We are sinful, and God is holy. And yet, you know, in the Psalm, Moses says, he says this, satisfy us early with thy mercy, with thy mercy. And that's what we need. We need God's mercy. We need for God to keep back from us the punishment that we deserve. We need God's grace. We want God to give us the blessings that we don't deserve. And you know, there was a man in the Bible, another question for the children, a man in the Bible, and one day he said to Jesus, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. Who was he? Bartimaeus, okay? There was another man in the Bible and he said, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Who was that? David, the tax collector, very good. Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. God be merciful to me, the sinner. And we might say, how could God be merciful? How could God be merciful to Bartimaeus? How could God be merciful to the tax collector? How can God be merciful to us? And the answer is this, that the punishment for our sin that we deserve fell on the Lord Jesus on Calvary's cross, and although he was sinless, he died for us who were sinful. Although he was guiltless, his blood was guiltless, he died for those who were guilty. Now, many years ago, there was a man, and he saw someone else going into a valley and taking his place. You think who that was? Story in the Bible, very famous story in the Bible. A man who saw someone else go into a valley and fight an enemy that he could never have hoped to fight. And that man he regarded as taking his place. David and Goliath. Who was the man that watched David fight Goliath? Jonathan, okay? The king's son. Jonathan saw David take his place, do what he could not have done. And when David came back from defeating Goliath, we're told that Jonathan took off his robe and gave to David his robe, gave to David his sword, gave to David his bow. And what David was saying, what Jonathan was saying to David was this: you did what I could never have done. You took my place in the valley of death, and because of that, all that I am, all that I have, I give to you. And you might say, what's the relevance of that to the story of the cross? And it's just this: the Lord Jesus died, the sinless one for us, the sinners. Guiltless blood for guilty man has been shed. And in response, we need to do something. We need to give our lives to him. We need to give our hearts to him. We need to say, Lord Jesus, I appreciate, I acknowledge that when you died on the cross, you were dying for me in my place. Condemned, you stood. And all that I am and all that I have, I give to you. Enter my life and become my saviour, my master and my Lord. And there's another man in the Bible, and he did that. And what he said was this: the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. And so, I hope you've understood my little message from Robert Burns. Great poet who lived hundreds of years ago, said some lovely things, and certainly understood the Christian gospel, the Christian message. Get those words in your mind. Guiltless blood for guilty man was shed. Jesus died on the cross instead of me. But that's not enough. We now need to do something in response. We need to repent of our sins, and we need by faith, simple faith, to believe that when he died, he was dying for me. And we need to say, in effect, in the words of the hymn, just as I am, without one plea, but that my blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Just let's sing a final hymn together, number 18. Number 18. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star shed its beams around me. Number 18.
Jesus, keep me near the cross.
Father, we've been singing about the cross, and we remember and might I could say on a hill far away stood an old ragged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame, and I love that dear cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. We thank you, Father, that thou didst ever send thy Son from heaven to earth, from Bethlehem's manger to Calvary's cross, and our Father, we just pray that all of us, whether we are young or whether we are old, whether we've heard the message many times or perhaps never heard it until now, we pray that all of us might understand why thy Son died. We thank thee that guiltless blood for guilty man has been shed. We thank thee that thy Son died in our place, bearing our sin, facing our punishment, and we just long that all of us might have understood that and might have accepted him as our Saviour. So for this time we give thanks, commend to thee for thy special blessing, those of your patients here in the hospital. We just pray for them and for their friends and relatives, that all of us might know thy rich blessing. We ask this in the name of thy Son.
Well, thank you all very much again for coming along. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. And God's blessing upon you all.